Jop will be here as well from World Business Chicago to talk about trade between Chicago companies and China. Of course, the president addressing Chinese trade at his speech at the UN. Did you see Dunkin' Donuts is changing its name?
They are.
To DD.
DD?
I don't remember. No. What is a Dunkin'?
I think they're just...
Dunkin'.
They're just going Dunkin'.
Yeah, because they have other things other than donuts.
They're getting rid of the fried, like in Kentucky Fried Chicken. So we'll talk to John Najarian from CNBC about that as well. That's some of what's coming up in the next 60 minutes. You two go to the stream.
All right.
The Steve Cochran Show, I should say, some of what's coming up in the next 60 minutes brought to you in part by American Weathermakers, heating and cooling the 60-Minute Men. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news sponsored by Gilkey Window Company. Here's Kim Gordon.
Mostly cloudy, 75 at O'Hare. Let's get the business lunch numbers. Right now, the Dow's up 16 points. NASDAQ up 9. The S&P 500 up just about a half a point. President Trump addressed the 72nd session of the U.N. General Assembly this morning in New York City. In a speech, Trump defended slapping tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese imports.
I have great respect and affection for my friend, President Xi. But I have made clear our trade imbalance is just not acceptable.
There was laughter from the assembly at the beginning of the president's speech when he bragged about how successful his administration has been. A federal grant will kick in millions to improve Midway Airport.
The $12.5 million in federal funds will go toward making runway, taxiway, and ramp improvements at Midway Airport, specifically the installation of runway guard lights at runway 13C and taxiway N, installation and replacement of components of the airfield lighting system, including new LED lights, and replacement of portions of the concrete on the terminal ramp pavement. The announcement coming from U.S. Senators Durbin and Duckworth, as well as Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Ryan Burrow, WGN News.
A Pennsylvania judge deemed Bill Cosby a sexually violent predator today as he prepares to be sentenced this hour for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman. That means he'll undergo mandatory counseling and will be a registered sex offender. The defense team for Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke showing a recreation of events the night he was shot and killed, Laquan McDonald.
Jason Fries, a video reconstruction expert from San Francisco, told the jury today that he uses laser scanning to recreate video. He was asked by the officer's attorneys to create an animated video that is expected to show what Van Dyke saw that night he shot and killed 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. The defense has argued the dash camera video of that night back on October 20th of 2014 doesn't accurately reflect what Van Dyke saw.
That's WGN's Eric Rung at the courthouse. A landmark number in illegal guns pulled off the streets in the Gresham neighborhood so far this year.
Thanks to the efforts of our police officers, especially the ones right here in the 6th District, the 1,000th illegal firearm has been removed off the streets of Chicago year to date, and over 7,000 illegal firearms citywide.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson was joined by Mayor Emanuel in the announcement, both calling for stricter gun control legislation from Springfield to stop the flow of illegal guns into Chicago. Your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hi, I'm Walter Jacobson. I've been telling you about the trouble I had hearing things clearly and my concern about looking old wearing hearing aids. Well, there's no need to worry about that because Dr. Ronna Fisher at Hearing Health Center fitted me with new Lyric hearing aids that are totally invisible. You couldn't find them if you looked. And I can wear them day and night for months at a time, in the shower, in the gym, wherever, without ever having to take them out or change batteries. You can try Lyric hearing aids right now for 30 days without obligation. Call 833-GO-HEARING. Make an appointment in Chicago, Park Ridge, Highland Park, Oak Brook, or Naperville. You'll get a free hearing checkup, and you'll walk out hearing better than you thought possible. And no one but you will know why. Call 833-GO-HEARING or book online at WGNHEARING.com.
When a silent thief is robbing the country's crops of higher yields, it'll take a bold step to bring balance and restore hope. This season, find out how far one granule will go to unlock the potential of soybean plants.
You know, Jim, it'll take a miracle to give these fields the boron they need for the full season.
Presenting the true story of three powerful elements joining forces to maximize soybean yields.
Jim, our retailer recommended Aspire. It combines potassium with not one but two forms of boron.
This season and all season, get ready for full crop potential when Aspire presents Growing Beyond the Outer Limits. From the Mosaic Company, the maker of Micro Essentials and K-Meg, now available in retailers. We will not spoil the ending, but your retailer or AspireBoron.com will.
Your money on WGN, Orion Samuelson.
Dunkin' Donuts seems to have had a problem deciding what to call the company, but today they announced that Dunkin' Donuts will have a new brand identity. And it happened at the Global Franchisee Convention that said the official name now will be Dunkin'. They said, although the word donuts will no longer appear in the logo or the branding, donuts will remain a significant focus for the brand. Google today joined Facebook in ending a ban on advertisements for cryptocurrencies. Google's move to ban such ads in June sent the price of the best-known cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, down more than 10%. Google did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And Facebook fell more than 2% in early trading today after the two founders of photo-sharing app Instagram left the social network giant and really didn't give any explanation. One analyst said, our sense is the two people may have wanted to run Instagram more independently than their parent company wanted. And then Arby's owner made a big deal today. They purchased Sony Corporation, a cash purchase, $1.57 billion in cash, adding more than 3,600 drive-in restaurants to its portfolio that includes brands such as Buffalo Wild Wings and Rusty Taco. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
WGN Sports, Dave Ennett.
Only 9 days till the Blackhawks open the regular season. They have three preseason games remaining, all at home, including a visit tonight from the Detroit Red Wings. Then games later this week with opening night opponent Ottawa and Columbus. You can hear tonight's game at 7:30 on AM 1000, online at WGNradio.com. Only two home games left for the White Sox. One of those tonight when they host the Indians again. James Shields makes his last start at home this season, opposed by the Indians' Trevor Bauer. Pregame with Andy Mazur at 6:35 and the first pitch with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson 7:10 on 720 WGN. At Wrigley Field, the Cubs try again to move closer to clinching a postseason spot when they host Pittsburgh. The Cubs' magic number for clinching a fourth straight trip to the postseason remains at 2, 5 for clinching the division. Their lead a game and a half over the second-place Brewers, who play in St. Louis again. Mike Montgomery starts for the Cubs at Wrigley against the Pirates' Chris Archer. You can see that game on WGN-TV. It's the first day of training camp for the Bulls as they get practice underway. An off day for the Bears, who host the Buccaneers Sunday in a matchup of 2-1 teams. On the home of the Blackhawks, the Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Dave Ennett. WGN Sports.
WGN Traffic, Violetta Podramatic.
Thanks, Kim. Traffic at a standstill eastbound Jane Addams Tollway between Lee and the Tri-State. That's because there's an accident there blocking the three left lanes. Avoid that area if you can and expect some heavy delays. The Edens, 20 minutes either way between Lake Hook Road and the Junction. Inbound Kennedy's 30 minutes. O'Hare to downtown, 25 minutes back out. The Eisenhower is 33 minutes in both directions between Thorndale and the old post office. Outbound Stevenson's 40, Lakeshore Drive to 355, 34 minutes in. And then the Dan Ryan's about 20 minutes 95th to the circle. No delays yet inbound. 4, personalized traffic on demand. Get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podrumetic in WGN Traffic Central.
The WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast, mostly cloudy skies today. Warmer, scattered showers, thunderstorms late in the day, a high of 78. Tonight, scattered showers, first thunderstorms early, then becoming partly cloudy, a low of 52. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high of 64. Right now, O'Hare 75, Midway 75, Palatine 76. The winds are variable at 5 miles an hour. The barometer's falling. Along the lakefront, 75. I'm Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you've got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Tuesday afternoon. Here we are in the Allstate Skyline studio on this beautiful, well, not so much, but not so bad when you consider that we are in late September, moving toward October. President Trump spoke to the United Nations earlier today. We will talk to Andrea Zopp from World Business Chicago about that a little bit later. And we're going to wrap up the program with the breath of fresh air, really. Joe Wilkins, a retired professor at UI Springfield, spent a lot of time in the gates of the Arctic National Park. Have you heard of it? I hadn't, but we will talk to him about that. But first, on Tuesdays, we say hello to John Najarian. You watch him on CNBC. Follow him on Twitter at John Najarian. And he's got his eyes on Wall Street for us today. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch. I heard that you are on the beach today.
Just wanted to throw that out.
You're always a breath of fresh air. You're a breath of ocean fresh air today. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I'm out at the Institutional Investor. I'm the master of ceremonies for their family office meeting of the 100 largest family offices in the country. So a lot of folks that are both making money and giving money back through their foundations and things like that. It's been three great days, and I'm flying back to Chicago tonight.
Well, safe travels back. Before that, let's talk a little bit. Let's start at the UN with President Trump. He gave what was described by one as an America First speech, which isn't altogether surprising, but he took on China again on trade there. I mean, did you hear anything or have you seen any reactions that might be surprising to you from the president's speech?
No, sir. I think it was pretty much to script exactly the sort of thing he's delivered time and time again. You know, every once in a while we do get Wall Street gets its feathers ruffled by some statement of an additional $267 billion in tariffs and or the possibility on the positive side of a deal struck with Canada, Mexico, talks restarted with China. All of those kinds of things will move the markets up and down, but there was really none of that today.
I got to tell you, John, my eyes are glazed over now. I see, you know, that the talks with China are at a standstill and that they might forego that, or not China, Canada, rather. The Chinese talks are on again. They're off again. This tit, that tat. I mean, I don't know how to keep up with it. I don't know what I'm hearing. I don't know which of what I'm hearing matters anymore.
True. And, you know, quite frankly, very little of it does, no matter who the president is, until it's actual. Just the suggestion that something might happen, we'll get an initial reaction, but then reiterating it and saying that this might happen, this might happen, this might happen, again and again and again, isn't really something that too many of us on Wall Street would base our investment decisions on.
You know, I'm looking at maybe these are a conflict in terms when it comes to two stories. One, Walmart and Target joined other big retailers, food companies. I think there may be 200 in all, sending a letter to the trade representative talking about how these tariffs are going to be bad for Americans, probably Walmart and Target, too. But then I see the consumer confidence number comes out. It was a 138.4, biggest number, I think, since 2000.
Yeah, and that's kind of easily explained, as you probably have done several times on the show. When people have more money in their pocket from the tax cuts, and the bulk of Americans do have more money, especially the folks that are spending at the retailers you named, Target and Walmart, even though they say going forward, some of these tariffs could move prices up, and I understand why they'd want those talks to resume, and I want those talks to resume. But I think having more disposable income is why you're seeing the consumer discretionary stocks just doing so well, outperforming the Dow by about 2-1 this year.
Dunkin' Donuts is going the way of Kentucky Fried Chicken, in a way, I guess. The KFC, they dropped the fried in their name. Dunkin' Donuts now dropping the donuts in theirs. I don't know. I'm not a brand expert here. What would be the impact here on Wall Street, or what do you think of this? I mean, I think Dunkin', it's always going to sort of be known for, I just wonder if you can't, I mean, McDonald's, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe McDonald's is a bad example, but Dunkin' Donuts can market itself as selling so many things other than donuts and not drop the name. It seems like there's a little bit of a risk here.
Yeah.
No?
I think as far as today's consumer, yes, I think there's a risk in dropping the donuts part of it off. But for the rest of us up until today that know that that's all about donuts, and if you know, nobody could name another donut chain in the United States, obviously Tim Horton, I believe it is, up in Canada.
Right.
But, you know, there's not another one in the United States, and I would have stuck with the name and kept donuts in it, quite frankly, if it were my decision.
It's Facebook. We haven't talked about Facebook for about 10 minutes, so I guess we're due. Tell me about this this defection from the Instagram creators from Facebook. Is this a big deal?
No. ultimately, no, not at all.
Okay.
They were brilliant guys, and their teams were great, and they built a product that I'll say we collectively love. But they hadn't really monetized it to this point, just like WhatsApp. And Messenger. There weren't the sort of advertisements that Facebook has generated billions of dollars on in their other properties. So we knew that when the WhatsApp guy left, and now that these two founders have stepped down, I think it's a matter of very short time before they monetize that. So I think this is a great opportunity to get into Facebook rather than to run from it. So we're more or less buying on this dip in Facebook.
I want to ask one other question before we get to your recommendations, maybe.
Sure.
I think it was in CNBC.com. I saw a story today about Jamie Dimon and Warren Buffett, and they had called for an end to the guidance ahead of the quarterly earnings reports, and that is apparently bearing fruit. I don't quite understand all of that. Is that something you could explain for me? And use small words, John.
Okay. Well, you don't need that, but so firms, when they give their earnings report, will many of them, not all, will guide forward and say, and for the next quarter, we believe we'll have sales of about $2.1 billion, and our profit on that should be about 42 cents, for instance. Or they'll give you a range, 40 to 45 cents, and they'll compare it to the previous offerings from that company, and they'll say they're guiding higher or they're guiding lower. And it has an immediate impact on stock price, mm-hmm. almost always, for the companies that do provide that guidance. And Jamie and Mr. Buffett are basically saying it's too much short-termism doing that, and we'll be better off as America and as companies that operate within these guidelines that the SEC sets to not have that offered out there, because, you know, it causes more volatility in the short term for that stock. Rather than, you know, you can be very transparent without offering a guidance that is at best your best guess about where you're going to be anyway. And if something happens, the vagaries of the market, tariffs, whatever it might be, changes that, all of a sudden the stock is punished. It can at times cause people to even lose their jobs. And I don't just mean the chairman of the company. I mean, if all of a sudden they say, well, because of this bad earnings guidance, we're going to have to let 1,000 people go. Those kinds of things, I think, are what Warren and Mr. Dimon are talking about. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm not going to miss it if they do away
have you
with
noticed,
forward guidance.
Has it been going away? Have some companies been dropping it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
A number of them have. But a number of them will say, and rightly so, the more transparency, the better. They tend to be the best companies that don't miss their guidance very often. The companies that are more volatile, that have perhaps the biggest growth in the markets, those are the ones that are more concerned about missing because of guidance that was a little weaker than expected and so forth.
All right, John Najarian, what are you watching today on Wall Street? What are your suggestions?
Well, quite frankly, I've been in and out here in California, of course, where it's legal. I'm invested in a lot of cannabis stocks.
Yeah.
I won't recommend one of those on the air with you right now, so don't worry, Stephen. But I will say Scott's Miracle-Gro is something that virtually all the folks that are growing cannabis for either medical or recreational use, they make use of that. So I'd say watch that stock.
So if I'd been putting that money, that marijuana money, into a cannabis mutual fund from back in my college days, I'd be in so much better shape right now.
Oh, my God. I'd be working for you.
John Najarian, let's talk again next week. Have a great trip back.
You too, Stephen. Thank you.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. You know, just last week, I think, or the week before, maybe, we were talking to Frank Sennett about their piece on Chicago's most powerful women, the 50 most powerful women in Chicago. One of them is on a phone line now. Andrea Zopp is here. We will talk to her about the China and U.S. Business Summit in Chicago. But before that, a little reminder of what the president said at the United Nations today.
I have great respect and affection for my friend, President Xi, but I have made clear our trade imbalance is just not acceptable.
Andrea Zopp is the CEO of the World Business Chicago. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I appreciate you joining us. I know you've had a busy day. All right, so the president spoke at the UN today talking about trade, talking tough when it comes to China. So there's that on sort of the macro view. When it comes to the micro view, you at World Business Chicago trying to foster partnership with China. How does all of that impact what you're doing day to day?
Look, first of all, you know, the fact is that China is a significant partner to our economy here in Chicago. They're our second biggest trading partner here in Illinois. We have a number of companies that have businesses on mainland, in China, on the mainland, and a number of Chinese companies that have over 100 Chinese companies that have businesses here. We are tied deeply to them. They create a lot of jobs here. And so part of our effort and message from World Business Chicago to Chinese businesses and companies is we're going to continue to be open for business. We're going to continue to work with you, and we want to continue to invest with you. You know, just as an example, here in Chicago, you know, the CTA ordered over 300 new cars. They're being built by a Chinese company that is building a plant right to manufacture the cars on the southeast side.
But
it's going to be over 200 jobs.
But that came before the tariffs and the tit for tat and all of that. I mean, have you seen a drop off in enthusiasm since this sort of trade skirmish or war began?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a drop off in enthusiasm. Absolutely, I would say the Chinese business community is concerned about the impact. I think almost everyone, though, recognizes that eventually we're going to work through this, which is why it becomes most important for us to keep the relationships going and the partnerships going. And I think the other point there is recognizing that there's a lot that we can do at the local level and to maintain relationships and keep working together. But there are things that are happening in Washington that will be real barriers to business here. That will cost us. It'll cost us in jobs and then cost us in lost investment opportunity. And that's unfortunate.
I know you are close to Mayor Emanuel. There will be a new mayor coming up in 6 months or so. Emanuel certainly worked to get international business in Chicago. Through what prism sort of will you be watching this next election? I mean, I would imagine I've been talking about Chicago from the inside out or from the outside in. From the outside in, it's important that we get a leader here who can continue to get that outside investment in the city.
Absolutely. I think, look, I mean, one of the things we've been doing at World Business Chicago, you know, our mission is inclusive economic growth. And that real, what we mean when we say that is recognizing that we've been really fortunate in the last several years with the bull market that Chicago, Central Business District and the Near West Side, they're growing very organically. But we have to be very focused on making sure that we're looking at areas where the growth isn't as organic, where we can do things to help drive growth and recruit businesses and help companies that are there think about expanding. But that becomes really important. And I think what's really important for the next mayor whoever it is to recognize that the business community is a partner here, and that if the downtown and central business district and near west side and those areas don't expand, continue to expand and grow, it's hard for us to have the revenues and the investment like the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund, where we've gotten millions of dollars that we've used to invest in the south and west sides of the city. That money, if we start losing the business community, that money will drive up. And so the key is it can't be one or the other. We have to do this together. And when we do it together, we can be effective and really grow the whole city. And so I think it's really important for the next mayor to appreciate the value and the additive value of a strong business community.
Andrew Zopp is the CEO of World Business Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, right here on 720 WGN. All right, think subscriptions, right? What do you get by subscription? Maybe you think first of a newspaper or a magazine. We get that. I get my razors by subscription. But what about your music? Chances are you get your music by subscription now, too. And that is just the beginning wave of what may be a transformational era that we're heading upon. In fact, Teen Zwo, who's the CEO of Zwara, says that we are in an era called the end of ownership. And Teen joins us on a phone line now to talk about that. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I'm interested in what Zwara... Am I pronouncing Zwara correctly, the name of the company?
Yeah, Zwara, Zuora.com.
All right, I want to talk about what they are doing and what you're doing there, but let's get there first. Tell me about this idea of the end of ownership.
Well, you just pointed out a whole bunch of services that you actually now subscribe to, and this is a trend that's really creeped up on us, and if you sort of pause and think about it, you're probably buying less and less stuff, right? You don't really need to buy things anymore. You can subscribe to things for entertainment, for food, to do work. You're not buying software. You don't even need to buy cars anymore. You could just whip out your phone, say, I'm here at point A, I want to get to point B, and a service like Uber will whisk you away to your destination. And so what we're seeing really is what we call the end of ownership, right? The idea that you have to own products to meet your needs, digital technologies, phone services, internet, that's really really pushing a lot of stuff into the wayside, and we're now arriving at an era of usership instead of ownership.
Tell me about the usership, and use cars as an example, how we've moved or are moving from ownership to usership.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you don't have to own anything, I know it's a little odd when you pause and you first think about it, but I'll tell you, you know, we used to be a two-car family in my house, and we went down to one car, and now, you know, I drive my car maybe 2,000-3,000 miles a year. And why is that? Because it's just so much more convenient,
right,
to pull out my phone, use Lyft, use Uber. You don't have to worry about the garage. You don't have to worry about, you know, the maintenance of the car. Does it have gas? Is the insurance paid up? Right, you can just get services to get what you want. I mean, why buy the cow when you really just are after the milk?
It's funny, you know, I find myself, I'm not kidding you, Teen, doing things that I wouldn't have done before because it's so much easier. Oh, I'll just jump in an Uber. You know, I don't have to worry about driving or parking. And so actually my activity has changed because of the subscription nature of the way I'm using for transportation.
That's right. And if you think about this, we see this happening across entire swaths of the economy. And so you know, these are examples of cars that you and I are certainly used to. But on the other end of the spectrum, if you look at a company like Caterpillar, right there in Peoria, and they sell big industrial vehicles, tractors, excavators. Some of these machines are gigantic. They hold 200 cars. But what they're finding is they're going to customers and saying, well, you don't really need to buy the excavator. What you're trying to do is move some dirt. And so what if we give you a service and you simply pay based on metric tons of earth moved and not have to deal with the physical products? And that's obviously much, much better for the companies that need these type of services.
Okay, but if you're Caterpillar, wouldn't you rather be selling this big machinery and getting the check for that rather than sort of leasing it or renting it out that way?
Well, if you simply see the product as something that you rent versus buy, then you start wondering, okay, from a cash flow perspective, does it make any sense? But what companies are finding is, it's not about letting people wrench your product. It's about providing them a service to get the outcome, right, and they'll actually pay more for these things. And so these companies are actually finding that these services, these new digital services they can offer, are much, much higher margin businesses. And the last thing what we're seeing is this is where the growth is. Because as a customer, whether you're a business or a person, once you subscribe to a service, you're probably not going to want to buy that product. It's hard to go back. So what we're finding is,
I was going to say,
this is where the growth is for businesses today.
Two things, then. And first of all, right, and that's where the crux of it is. That's where we are right now and how it's profitable for companies rather than selling their cats to use them in that way. I go back to the 80s. I belonged to a health club, and it was early on, and the guy who owned the health club said, look, I have automatic withdrawal. Did I get the check from everyone once a week or once a month? People forget they're paying me, and they just keep paying me. In a way, I get razors that I don't need from my razor blade company, and they just keep coming, and the automatic withdrawal just keeps coming. So in that level, sort of that's where it is. But on the bigger level, you're talking about where companies can find if they provide the service, so maybe Ford stops thinking of itself as a car manufacturing plant, starts thinking of itself as a transportation company. It transforms and meets sort of the future needs. It becomes a whole different company in the same sort of tradition.
That's exactly what Ford is saying. Ford is saying, you know, let's think about customer experience, not when they step into the car and exit the car. The car is primarily used for commuting to work. How do we become a mobility service that thinks about our customers from bed to desk, as soon as they wake up to when they're safely ensconced in their desk at work? You know, we have the opportunity to do that right now and broaden ourselves to a transportation brand and not just simply a car brand.
And that's what Zorro does, right? You're working with companies to help them, what, with cloud-based technology? Are you helping them transform into the subscription sort of based economy?
I appreciate you asking. www.zora.com. Ultimately, what we are is a software provider, and we provide a set of software that helps companies build, manage, and transition or transform into these subscription businesses.
You know, people are subscribing to radio now with satellite radio. I don't like that. I'd rather that they tuned into us every day, but it is the way things are changing. T. Zuo, for the founder, CEO of... Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, I think what happens is they can still listen to you in the car, but now you've got much, much broader reach, and I can listen to you here in San Francisco as an example.
Well, I'm glad you are. Tease and the Zuo, I should say, founder of Zorro. Thanks very much for joining us. I hope we can talk again.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. And then there were just 17. After a few hotels have negotiated contracts with their union workers, 17 still have pots, pans, and chants going on outside their front doors as their workers dip into the third week of a strike. The Hotel Palomar and Allegro settled the negotiations with the union workers, requesting year-round healthcare instead of the sporadic offerings that was the norm before. So it looks like things are moving forward, at least in the hotel industry here in Chicago. But things aren't moving as smoothly over at Sears. The CEO of Sears and ESL Investments, Eddie Lampert, is doing everything he can to help keep Sears afloat, including using the hedge fund he controls to restructure debt, all in order to keep shareholder value up. Which is going to be tough because their stock has steadily declined below $8 per share the entire year. To give you an idea as to where they came from, the stock was peaking at nearly 50 back in 2013. A lot can happen in 5 years, and I've said it before. You've got to make big moves to keep up with the times. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank here on 720 WGN. All right, Joe Wilkins is in the studio, and well, he's an old business professor, so it's appropriate that you're on a business lunch program.
Absolutely.
Taught at the University of Illinois Springfield, right?
That's correct.
And so retired in what, 2003?
Retired in 2003, been happily retired for 15 years
okay,
now.
So, you know, I have a travel company. We take trips to Europe, so I'm really interested in, I just think there's such value in putting yourself somewhere else.
Oh, absolutely. Getting out of your comfort zone, that's where you learn about yourself, really. Everything else, but you also learn about yourself.
And you were a big traveler all along, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been pretty well all over Asia, all over Europe, pretty well all over North America as well.
What's your favorite spot? That's an impossible question.
There really isn't any.
Now, like, I don't know how you do that.
If you wanted to, yeah, that's a terrible question. If you wanted to ask me what my favorite national park out of all of the 60 national parks that are all treasures, I have to say I'm totally biased. It's Gates of the Arctic National Park.
You know, a better question might be, we won't get into it now, but what is your favorite moment? Because I think that's, you end up having more moments.
I absolutely agree, Steve. I absolutely do.
So you had military training in the Arctic.
Right.
And so you retire in 2003 from teaching.
Uh-huh.
You've traveled all over.
Uh-huh.
And then you find yourself, I mean, I just said off the air, it's almost as if you went home. You went back up.
I did. That was a good way to describe it.
What brought you back up to what is now the Gates of the Arctic National Park?
You know, there's so many things, and I never did stop going there all through, you know, for the last half century, last 52 years, if you're, who's counting. I went in and out of that area quite a lot, backpacking, camping, canoeing. Backpacking, I guess, primarily, but it's the wild. This is the most distinct wilderness area. It's primeval. This Gates of the Arctic is as large as Switzerland. You've been through this part of the world over there. This is almost as large as Switzerland, and it's surrounded by, in turn, the greatest wilderness area in the entire world.
But you go up there, I would imagine is there great solitude there? Or?
There is. Solitude is one of the real attributes of this environment.
That could be dangerous, too.
There is danger with it. There is. You have the exotic animals. You have polar bears, grizzly bears, all of these kinds of things.
And so you went up there in 2003, started backpacking, hiking around, and then you volunteered for the National Park Service?
Yeah, that was when I went in. I kind of knocked on the door and said, hey, you want to volunteer?
and your first job was they had you carry an extra radio in case the guides got killed?
sort of that. And then they figured out how much I did know. So they started having me, the new rangers, you know, these young, tough kids who had just a few years of experience in the parks in the lower 48, when they come up, their first 2 weeks usually of experience in the Arctic wilderness, they got me.
Right. So you're like the drill sergeant.
I really was. I had two orders. Keep them alive, teach them enough to stay alive when you're gone.
And from that comes this book. It's beautiful, a book of photos and your remembrances, Gates of the Arctic National Park, 12 Years of Wilderness Exploration. When did you decide there was a book in all of this?
You know, after I went through those years, I walked the Camino from Lourdes, France to Santiago, Spain. I walked 675 miles, a lot of time to think and reflect. That's when I made the decision to write this.
And once again, a great moment during travel.
Absolutely.
Joe Wilkins, where do people find the book?
I have a website, joesalaskabook.com. It's also available on Amazon and many, many bookstores.
It's a beautiful spot, beautiful book. Thanks for coming in today.
Steve, thank you, sir.
It's a
pleasure.
Let's say keep on traveling together, right?
Keep on traveling. We love it.
Rick Steves fans.